Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, a conversation with the award-winning author and historian Annette Gordon-Reed of Harvard University. We'll talk about her best-selling new book, On Juneteenth, a reflection about the holiday that celebrates the declaration of the end of slavery in Texas, which will be celebrated on Saturday. Yesterday, Congress passed a bill declaring Juneteenth as a national holiday. President Biden is expected to sign it into law today. Annette Gordon-Reed joins me to talk about Juneteenth tomorrow here on Midday. And now, a new program at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy that allows students to major in marijuana. The medical and recreational cannabis industry is a multi-billion dollar business. The University of Maryland School of Pharmacy is the first institution in the country to offer a master's degree in medical cannabis science and therapeutics to train people to work in this burgeoning field. Dr. Natalie D. Eddington is the dean of the pharmacy school. Katrina Almonte is one of the first students to complete the program and receive her degree. They join me on Zoom. Welcome to you both. Dr. Eddington, let me begin with you. Why did you sense that there is a need for a program like this?
So we started thinking about an educational program in cannabis probably in 2019. And the impetus for that was that the number of states around the country that either had medical cannabis or recreational cannabis. And we wanted to create a program that would professionalize the face of the medical cannabis industry, that would remove the stigma long associated with this plant. And we wanted to produce a diverse and highly educated medical cannabis workforce to support the millions of patients who are turning to cannabis for relief from a host of symptoms associated with a wide range of diseases. And so that was the genesis of why we started this program and wanted to make sure that we were providing the science, the clinical care, and the policy aspects of medical cannabis.
And Katrina Almonte, you have a background in the military, a background in chaplaincy. What led you to this program?
So much like Dean Eddington just mentioned, the idea behind cannabis is, you know, it's multivariate and it has a stigma associated with it. So while I was in the military, it was the zero tolerance policy. But as I found while working in the military as a chaplain, I kept bumping into this pesky little PTSD problem, which is not so little. It's huge, it's thriving, it's rampant in military cultures. And I found that I was having a tough time trying to provide support, provide religious triage, provide counseling with PTSD being so rampant. So I started to learn more about PTSD and I wanted to find out how we could better understand PTSD. I thought at the time I could do so within the chaplaincy, but after bumping into cannabis and finding that it was an effective treatment modality for PTSD conditions, I realized that in order to truly understand PTSD and truly understand cannabis's impact on PTSD, I needed to learn more about cannabis. And so I started looking for programs, but like Dean Eddington said, I wanted to find something that would be as professional as my military background. I was not interested in losing credibility. And so this program really offered me that opportunity to continue to professionalize my background while doing exactly what I wanted to do, which was learn about cannabis.
Katrina Almonte is one of the first graduates in the program in medical cannabis science and therapeutics at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy. Dr. Natalie Eddington joins us as well. She's the dean of the school. What are your thoughts about medical cannabis and about the training that folks could and should have to be part of the cannabis industry? 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at midday. WYPR. And Dean Eddington, then, explain how, for example, medical cannabis or cannabis can be used as a treatment modality for PTSD. What makes it effective and what makes it more effective than other treatments that have been used traditionally?
Well, the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine released a comprehensive report in 2017 that I mentioned that looked at and reviewed about 10,000 scientific abstracts for cannabis health research. And they looked at a number of conditions. And what they did was looking at the use of cannabis, medical cannabis, in chronic pain and post-traumatic stress disorders. And the approach there in terms of post-traumatic stress disorders is really getting an understanding from the patient what their needs are. Is it a higher level of anxiety? Or are there other issues? And using medical cannabis, inclusive of cannabinoids as well as other constituents of cannabis, patients can get a response that is very helpful to some of the health effects that they are seeing. And so this is also important to note that the research that's been done on medical cannabis, the clinical care that has been done in medical cannabis, really is important for healthcare providers, folks that are in our program, to better understand how we can work and support patients that have a variety of different health effects that we want to address.
And Katrina Almonte, do you foresee a future for yourself in the cannabis industry in particular, or is your ultimate career goal, you know, to be in another aspect of counseling that may involve cannabis as a particular treatment modality?
So all and everything.
Yeah. Yes and yes. So
yes, both and yes. So cannabis is such a huge, there's so many opportunities within this space, right? I mean, so we have the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy, which has this great program, and the world is beginning to open up. And on top of the world opening up, cannabis legislations are beginning to loosen. So, I mean, with that, I anticipate there will be lots of opportunities for cannabis in the world. Now, for me per se, I have a couple of projects that I'm really excited about. I'm working on a TV pilot where we are really talking about cannabis tourism. I'm working on and authoring my first book. I'm really excited about that, giving cannabis its own voice, telling its own story. And I'm just so open and so excited about what this opportunity means. And I'm also going on to school in the fall and going to be working on my PsyD degree in order to become a clinical psychologist and hopefully lend my practice to veterans and PTSD patients. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. And cannabis is so open, the field is so open. And with this degree, I'm just so excited about what the future holds for me.
Yeah, you got so many irons in the fire. That's really great. And, Tom,
if I could just add to that, I think one of the great things about developing a program and educating more than 132 graduates in the last cohort is the fact that these graduates are going to go out, as Katrina has said, and really put a stake in cannabis. I think one of the most important areas that we need growth is in actual research on the plant in terms of how does it work in various different health effects or disease states. And I am sure that the graduates of this program are really going to help us focus on those things. So we have a better understanding of what's the dose of cannabis for certain disease states and how do you use that. And so I think that this program, in addition to educating about cannabis, it's also going to create a workforce that's really going to go out and really have an impact on cannabis and the research, as well as the clinical care that we learn about in the distant future, and hopefully earlier than that.
Dr. Natalie Eddington is the dean at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy. Katrina Almonte is one of the first graduates in the program at the school in medical cannabis science and therapeutics. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. To join our conversation, we're at 410-662-8780. Our email's midday@wipr.org. You can tweet us at @midday WIPR. You can tweet me at Tom Hall. WIPR. And Katrina, I'm interested that medical cannabis is now legal in 33 states, including here in Maryland, as well as in the District of Columbia and Guam and Puerto Rico. That number is, of course, going to rise as more and more states legalize it, and recreational use will also be made legal in many more places than it currently is. One of the things that you study in this program is public policy around cannabis. Where have you found yourself coming down when it comes to public policy? What are the kinds of statutes, the kinds of laws that you think we should be seeing at the federal and state level around the cannabis industry?
Well, I'm hoping that as we have 33 states already where cannabis is considered legal and recreational, well, for recreational use, I'll say, I'm hoping that that would be the starting point for all of the states. Listen, at the end of the day, we need access to this plant, whether it's on an individual level and you have glaucoma and you want to personally treat your glaucoma, or whether you have undiagnosed anxiety and you just want to use an oil, a drop, a tincture, or if you want to smoke. At the end of the day, we all need access to it. Dean Eddington brought up a great point. How can we know more about the plant if we're not studying it, if we're not analyzing it, if we're not seeing how it works against formidable diseases or informidable diseases? So we all need access to the plant, and that starts and ends with legislation.
And Dean Eddington, what are your thoughts? I mean, are there specific kinds of legislation that you think, as the cannabis industry evolves, the legislation needs to evolve as well, even in the places where it is legal?
Well, I think a lot of what we need to do, as Katrina mentioned, is research. And so that's where the challenges are in terms of the ability to perform research with human patients to get a better idea of how the plant is used, what are the effects, what are the appropriate dosage forms, how long does it last in the body, what are the differences between middle age and older adults, et cetera. Those are the kinds of studies that need to go on in order to best utilize the plant. So I think that has been in the past a hurdle for higher education in terms of doing research on cannabis. I think in some states that there has been an attempt to allow that, but it's not an easy process. And so for that reason, there isn't enough research ongoing around the country on medical cannabis.
And Katrina Almonte, this is a huge business. There's one estimate that puts it at a $41 billion industry by 2028, in just a few years. But there's also a tradition so far in the cannabis industry to use people who are not trained in an academic setting, but who simply have experience in working with cannabis, be it legal or illegal, and they come to folks in the industry with that experience, and there's a feeling that to a certain extent there's a bias against people who've only been trained academically and who don't have any actual experience working in the industry. How do you respond to that? Are you worried about that? I mean, the fact that University of Maryland's program is the first of its kind in a, you know, a highly respected, fully accredited school of pharmacology. You know, you've got this master's degree in the science and therapeutic practice of cannabis. Do you think it's going to be well received in the general job market?
Well, that's a loaded question because, I mean, I'm sure there are some biases that are out there, but biases exist in every space within all people. I've found that for me, I'm looking really to hire myself mm-hmm. and represent myself. I'm looking to build my own brand. I kind of came into this space thinking I need to learn as much as I can learn and grow and mature in this space so that I can step out and be a personal representative within this space. So since I'm building my own brand, I'm not too concerned about biases that may exist within organizations because I'm not really looking to exist within those organizations. Now, if it happens and the right opportunity comes along, I certainly wouldn't close the door on that opportunity. But my passion really is for education and advocacy. And so because of that, it almost limits me in looking at certain jobs within organizations. So for me, what I'm doing is making videos weekly, representing my own brand. And I kind of have my own personal goals as to where I want to be and how I want to represent myself. So for instance, with advocacy, I'm working on my book. With education, I'm actually working on this TV pilot and really jam-packing those projects with everything that I think it needs that would represent cannabis well, represent my university well, and represent my brand well. So from that standpoint, biases doesn't exist because I've created my own space.
Yeah,
so I'm sure
entrepreneurial thing going. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so yeah. I'm sure there are other people that may have to kind of deal with that, but I'm not one of them. But for those people that may encounter that, I would say, you know, don't let a no stop you. Just continue mm-hmm. getting back out there. Just like with anything, you fall, you get up, you dust yourself off and you keep going. And yep. through that process, you will be accepted because your gifts will make room for you. That's what mm-hmm. I personally believe.
Yeah. And Dr. Eddington, in our last minute or so, I'm interested in your own personal evolution about cannabis. You're trained as a pharmacologist. You've worked in the private sector. You've worked in academia. Did it take you a long time to come around to overcoming the barriers, the stigma that you mentioned about cannabis? How did it work for you personally?
Well, I had, I guess, my first experience with educational cannabis probably 3 years before we started our program, or 4 years before we started our program. And that was somewhat challenging because of the laws in the state of Maryland. And so I've always thought that there was really the plant itself does have significant health effects for patients. And so my whole process is, how do we get this plant to patients and patients that could really benefit from cannabis? And that has been our focus since we started even developing the program, before we even started working on the program. So that has been the process that I've always had. And I think it really, what I'd like to see going forward, I'd like to see more clinical studies with cannabis. I'd like to get a better idea of the different effects that are based on age or race or anything like that. Because I think if we can clarify those kinds of things, we can make cannabis more accessible to all patients.
Dr. Natalie Eddington is the dean at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy. Dr. Eddington, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Katrina Almonte is one of the first graduates in the program in medical cannabis science and therapeutics at the School of Pharmacy. And Katrina, God bless and good luck. You've got all sorts of things going on, and it sounds like you have a very exciting future ahead of you. So thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Tom Hall. It's midday. J. Wynn Russick is up next with a review of the filmed version of Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights. Stay with us.
You're tuned to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.